On the block, on demand.
Without Jerry McInerney, we wouldn't have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And a celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know what? There's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
On ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio Utica Road, heard on 96.5 FM, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, ESPN app, just find ESPN Syracuse, ESPN Utica Rome, give it a tap and off we go into the big bad world with you. Keep you company right here. We'll be by your side. Just call my name and I'll be there. Actually, you have to hit it in the app. I don't know if Siri does that on voice command. Maybe we should check. Let's check. Siri? Let's see if this works. Siri? Hello, Siri? Siri's a little shy today. Hey, Siri? Work. Siri? Yeah. She's a little shy today. But you can figure it out, right? Just find us on the app. Find us on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk, the all-encompassing, amazing experience of this program. Listen to all you get on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. It's like an infomercial. First, you get to see the show. You get a live chat throughout the show. Mics stay on during commercial breaks. You get your own show. And if you call now exclusively, you get the opportunity to chat throughout the program more than once. That's right. Absolutely free. Chat as much as you want. It's all happening there at twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Hello, Twitch friends. Great to have you on board as always. So lots of ways to experience the show. We're glad you're here to do it. No matter how you're doing it, you can participate in it, as mentioned in the live chat, or at 437-7644, Brent Axe Media on Twitter as well. A couple of great guests lined up today right here in this hour of the program.
The Bills make me wanna
start to get you ready for
throw your hands up.
Saturday night. It's all right for fighting.
Come on,
it's all right for dancing. It's all right for a little Buffalo Bills football, playoff football. We're going to turn our friend Matt Perino, who joins us frequently on the program to talk Bills football, into a meteorologist. Will the weather be a factor on Saturday? And by the way, if it snows, that favors Baltimore more than Buffalo. Let's not make any mistake about that, even though Lamar Jackson's never played in the snow. A lot of the snow stuff is aesthetics. It's for fans. It helps Baltimore. They're the number one rushing team in the National Football League, and that helps them more than it helps Buffalo. I hate to say it, but snow weather seemingly will be a factor in this game. We'll get the breakdown from Matt Perino about that, the matchup, and what is certainly the most anticipated game, and that's just not my biased opinion. That is the best game, at least on paper, on the board in this upcoming divisional weekend for the NFL playoffs. We will talk to Matt about that right here in this hour, about 4:20 later in the show. Looking forward to this. You know, when I was in high school and I played lacrosse, I tell you about that time I won the MVP award, 1996, exceptional senior all-star game. Me and Ryan Powell, MVP. Have I told that story before? That's my Al Bundy story. Remember Al Bundy? Remember Married with Children? Scored 5 touchdowns in a game for Polk High. That's my Al Bundy moment. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is a guest that we're going to have today, a guest we're going to have throughout college basketball season. He scored 2,334 points in his Syracuse career. That is still a mark that makes him the all-time leading scorer in Syracuse basketball history. Lawrence Moten will join the program presented by Amtrak. And the reason I bring up my lacrosse career, not that you have to nudge me too much to do that, but I used to jack up my socks on the field in tribute to the great Lawrence Moten. So comes full circle that he's going to join us on the show throughout ACC college basketball season here. Of course, we're coming off a Syracuse loss to North Carolina that we will dig into here shortly, and looking forward to that. A lot of drama in the NBA these days, kids. Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Could they be teammates by the end of the day? That's just a combustible situation right there, but just like that, not that it's a shocker to hear that Harden is going to be traded out of Houston, but the Rockets have said, you know what, why don't you just stay away until we can trade, according to Woj and all the NBA insiders. So James Harden pouted his way out of Houston. Where's he going to end up? It's either going to be Philly or Brooklyn, so we will look at the drama in the NBA there. The National Hockey League drops the puck tonight. You guys want to hear all about my fantasy team, right? I'm sure you do. We're going to dedicate a whole segment to it. No, I'm kidding. But there is something really interesting, historic, about the NHL in the pursuit of the Stanley Cup that we'll discuss during Hot Takes that I think you'll find interesting. Even if you're not a hockey fan, we'll go on the blind side and much more. But, of course, we start with Syracuse and North Carolina. Now, before we get into that game, we don't know much right now other than this, to add a little breaking news into the situation. Georgetown is on pause now. Georgetown's game against DePaul, scheduled for tonight, has been postponed because Georgetown has entered COVID protocol, that all-too-familiar thing that we have heard throughout college basketball season, NBA teams experiencing it, I'm sure, that the National Hockey League will experience it. I believe the Dallas Stars have already had to postpone a few games because of it. It's just become normal, right? An unfortunate normal in a reality that this is something that is always looming around the corner. Matt Norlander, another college basketball insider, has followed up saying that, here's what Matt tweeted. Source, Georgetown is going on pause due to COVID-19. It's expected that the team's next three scheduled games will be postponed. Tonight versus DePaul, definitely off, in addition to expected postponements Saturday versus Providence and January 20th versus Marquette. Well, Georgetown was just here a few days ago. So, yeah, take a deep breath and see if this is going to affect Syracuse in any way, shape, or form. Now, again, at this point, we'll continue to monitor this, of course, and tell you if anything breaks out of this. But our friend Mike Waters, amongst others, tweeting that, quote, so far no word from Syracuse officials as to whether Georgetown's pause due to positive cases will impact the Orange. But if the standard protocols go into place, the standard contact tracing and all this stuff we've all unfortunately become experts on, well, hold your breath and see. You know, we're just kind of at the point where you just really have to just test. And if a positive test shows up in your program, well, then you go into your protocols. Remember, Syracuse has the wristbands that track movements, and they're doing everything they can and have still had two significant pauses. The women's team hasn't played in like 3 weeks, and we haven't gotten a lot of details about. And you got to be careful here. I understand there's medical information and everything. Some schools are more forthcoming with that info than others. Syracuse is a private school, so they're going to tell you what you need to know at a basic level and then kind of throw up that shield when they can. But I think it's interesting that they haven't played for a few weeks. And if they don't play Sunday and that pause extends, they might not play for a month. So the ever presence of COVID-19 looms in sports as the rest of it tries to plow through as best they can. So we'll monitor that. Anything else comes out you need to know, we will certainly let you know. But what we know at this point is Georgetown's on pause. And Georgetown was here Saturday, so stay tuned on that front. As of a game that did get played and got played last night, Syracuse falls to North Carolina. And it really doesn't take a sweeping investigation of that game last night to figure out how Syracuse lost. Syracuse lost because they got overpowered. They got outscored 24-4 points in the paint. or they got outscored points in the paint 42-24. Second chance points, pardon me, 24-4 in favor of North Carolina. The rebounding edge was there. Now, despite this, you have Quincy Guerrier score 23 points, 11 rebounds, 5 blocks. Does everything he possibly can to overcome a distinct advantage at the center position for Georgetown. Despite that, Syracuse outshoots North Carolina 47-40. Shot better from three-point range, which certainly was expected. Had more points off turnovers. Blocked more shots. Like it, you go into this knowing you're not going to win the rebounding battle. It's just not going to happen. You never want to concede in sports. You never want to have that mind frame. But you have to exploit your strengths and try and hide your weaknesses. That game went back and forth. It was a game of runs. Syracuse goes into halftime on a 14-4 spurt. Buddy Boeheim with 18 points in the first half. That's what you need. You need your shooters to connect. You need to find ways around that glaring problem looming in the paint. North Carolina comes out on a 9-0 run. Syracuse matches that. It goes back and forth. Syracuse lost 81-75. They did not get their doors blown off here. They did not lose by 20. They did not lose by 30. And in the two other games Syracuse has lost, there's a clear pattern here. Rutgers out-rebounded Syracuse by 16. Pittsburgh out-rebounded Syracuse 49-33 in North Carolina last night. In those three games, Syracuse lost by 10. They lost by 3 to Pitt, who they get again on Saturday in an immediate rematch. And they lost this game by 6. So Syracuse has the personnel, they have the team to overcome this issue. But it's an issue, right? For those that look at this and say, why hasn't Syracuse addressed that position? Now, it's a law of averages thing, right? Like, how many teams are you going to face through the course of a season that are going to be like North Carolina? Every team's got size. Every team's got big men. Every team's got, you know, well-tuned college basketball athletes. They're 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", and can take up space. But just, is the game that way still? Is this like old school Big East, got to have that big man? Or can you get away with it generally? Is that the thought process? And it's interesting to hear Jim Boeheim say this. Now, this is a combination of injury and what's on your roster. But when it comes to addressing what they have at center, they really don't have an answer.
We don't have a plan. We don't have anybody that can play that position. Frank's out for at least 2 more weeks. We're trying to develop Jesse in practice. A bowl is too small. He can't get it done out there. We're still working with Jesse every day. We're hoping that he can give us some minutes in there, but he's really the only alternative right now.
Barama had 12 points and 13 rebounds against North Carolina in the ACC tournament last year. He's in that game, has half of that. Everything else goes the way it should. You win that game. You overcome that problem. So I'm not going to sit here and disagree with anybody that will look at that and say, well, what happened to the days of Etan Thomas? What happened to the days of AO? What happened to the days of Rakeem Christmas? You need that big physical presence in the middle. That's still something you need in basketball. There's a certain style of player that Syracuse has clearly recruited at that position. He just went through a few names there, and there's others that apply to it. It's not a bulk approach. It's a length approach. It's a zone approach. It's a taking up space approach. Well, basketball, like other sports, is a game of matchups, and once in a while you run into a team where you're like, uh-oh. North Carolina has owned this series. They've won 10 of the last 11. Syracuse has never won at Chapel Hill. Roy Williams, I believe, is 11-5 against Boeheim. It's just, there's certain teams you just don't want to see. And again, despite that, Syracuse almost won that game. It doesn't change the fact that it's a glaring weakness against certain teams. It doesn't change the fact that, and look, you think I wrote that column or wrote or discussed this on the show yesterday too early. It's not too early to mark the tape and say, these are the quality we need to be in the discussion for the NCAA tournament. This is a team that for the last 5 years has been sweating on Selection Sunday. That's a trend. Okay? That's not, hey, college basketball is tough. No, that's a trend. That's being in this type of league, knowing what those games are and the approach you have to take to win them. Now, Syracuse has got another game against North Carolina on March 1st. That will be here. So we'll see what each team looks like by then, but it seems Carolina's starting to come out of the hole they dug themselves last year, a rare instance where North Carolina, the losing record and just a nightmare of a season. Well, they're starting to come out of that. When you have the preseason ACC Player of the Year, I mean, this is no offense to our friend Pat in Syracuse, but I believe Pat was saying yesterday on the show how overrated Garrison Brooks is. Well, not last night, right? So overcoming that issue is something Syracuse has to do, but again, go through the schedule. And I'm asking this rhetorically. I should have really dug in and done the research on this before I brought it up on the show, but how many teams like that are you going to run into? I don't want to misquote him, but I believe Boeheim said that's like the biggest team in the number of bodies you're going to face like that that you're going to see all year. And that's a fair point. But it's also a fair point to say, well, why don't you have at least one of those players that fits that mold? It's not like Syracuse doesn't recruit that, but you set priorities a certain way. You try and win with a certain style, right? It didn't work last night. It almost did, but it didn't. So we will discuss that as we go, get more of your thoughts on that throughout the program. I should note this, and Seth is sending this to me as we speak. So I brought it up a moment ago, the James Harden situation. Well, we can update that. Get ready for this, kids. The Brooklyn Nets have acquired James Harden. This is from Woj and Ramona Shelburne. Woo, this is a War and Peace trade. So here's basically what it comes down to. The Nets get James Harden. They will send out 4 first-round picks, 4 pick swaps, Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen, and others. So here's what Woj tweeted. Brooklyn will acquire James Harden in a 3-way deal with Cleveland. Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, 4 first-round picks, including the Cavs' 2022 first pick via the Milwaukee Bucks, and 4 Nets pick swaps to the Rockets. Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince go to Cleveland. Woo! That is a trade. So James Harden pouted his way out of Houston. He now goes to Brooklyn, pardon me, to pair with Kyrie Irving, who's got a little bit of a drama situation himself. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, on First Take today, told Kyrie Irving to retire. Not at the end of the season. Now. Thank you, Stephen A. So there's a little drama that's got to be cleared up there. That's now a combustible situation, but from a standpoint of the sports as entertainment field, that's a really interesting team to follow and becomes an instant favorite to win the NBA title. I mean, here you have KD and Kyrie together. You add James Harden to that mix. They can make that work. That's a title team right there. It's going to give the Lakers all they can handle or anybody else you want to throw on the table. Milwaukee, you know, that first breath of teams that can win the NBA title, obviously Brooklyn is now in it. If they weren't before without James Harden, now they have him. So it's an interesting dynamic of being able to kind of pout your way out of somewhere and the dynamics of that and the look of that. And it's a player's league. And when they get tired of being somewhere, they just pout about it and show up out of shape and, you know, cause a locker room rift. And then, hey, welcome to Brooklyn. All is forgiven, right? Because talent overrides everything. Right, wrong, or indifferent. So breaking news there, James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. Giddy up. So we will discuss all that during Hot Takes. When we come back, though, we're going to talk some football. We're going to get into the playoffs, focus on the Bills and the Ravens a little bit with our friend Matt Perino from Syracuse.com, NYUp.com. Stay there. You're on the block. ESPN Radio, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Oh, just a few things happening in the world today.
My boss is on Broadway.
And on the sports front. Welcome back. Great to have you here.
My boss is on Broadway.
We're on the block, ESPN Radio, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. It's presented by our friends at Burdick BMW. Lots of takes. Let's do it.
We've got a hot one for you.
Oh, you're hot.
Why, thank you. So are you. And I'm not afraid to cry. So hot.
So hot and hurt. Yes,
man, it's hot. How hot is it? It's so hot, I poured McDonald's coffee in my lap to cool off.
It's time for Hot Takes on the Block.
It's 4:44. You know what time that is. If you've been hurt in a car, and we certainly hope that's not the case, but if it unfortunately is, there is only one name to call, and that is our friends at William Mattar, an easy number to remember anytime, but especially this time, 444-4444. So we hit on it a little earlier this hour, breaking news out there in case you have not heard. Whoa, mama, what a trade. Now, they impeached the president again. Kind of a big deal. Only president in history that's been impeached twice. But in bigger news, James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. Coming up, bigger deal, president impeached or James Harden to the Nets. We'll debate coming up on First Take. Wow. Now, it is not a surprise by any stretch of the imagination, especially after last night, that Harden is on his way out of Houston, in this case, to Brooklyn. Here is James Harden last night when you kind of knew things were done.
I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
When you, yeah, see ya. Bye. When you have Boogie Cousins come to the podium and offer this.
My interest in playing with John Wall, to be brutally honest. And with that being said, the disrespect started way before, you know, any interview. Just the approach to training camp, showing up the way he did, the antics off the court. I mean, the disrespect started way before. So, this isn't something that, you know, all of a sudden happened, you know, last night. But with that being said, like I said, this is the nasty part of the business. So, it is what it is.
Boogie Cousins there last night, So Harden pouts his way out of Houston. There's a lot of drama with Kyrie Irving right now, to the point where Stephen A. Smith went on First Take today and said this.
I'm a chicken. I'm quack, quack, quacking.
He also said this.
Do you think that Kyrie is worth all of this drama?
No, he's not. He's not worth it at all. A matter of fact, let me say this straight up and down. I think Kyrie Irving should retire. I think he should announce his retirement today. Clearly, you don't want to play basketball bad enough. Now, you might still want to get the $33.4 million, obviously devoid of some of the docked pay you'll receive because you haven't complied with safety protocol measures. And as a result, the league is going to determine when you come back instead of yourself or taking personal leave and obviously forfeiting game checks or whatever the case may be. But still in all, at the end of the day, you know what? You're still going to get, you know, in excess of $20 million at the very least, even though you're on the books for $33.4 million this year. Kyrie Irving has not prioritized basketball.
So let's put all that together and form a super team in Brooklyn. And you're the New York Knicks saying, oh, what's going on over there? From Woj and Ramona Shelburne, the Rockets have sent James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets in a blockbuster four-team trade that also involves the Pacers and Cavaliers, completing the disgruntled Stars' exit from Houston and setting up a potential super team in Brooklyn. The Nets sent Houston a package that includes multiple players and draft picks and features guard Caris LeVert, who was then traded to the Pacers for Victor Oladipo. So that's like a mini trade, major trade within the blockbuster trade. Jarrett Allen and Taurean Prince head from the Nets to the Cavs, while the Rockets receive Cleveland guard Dante Exum and Brooklyn forward Rodanius Kurix. Is how you say this, right? It's a coup, you say. Houston will receive Brooklyn's three unprotected. Sorry, I lost my place. Here it is. Houston will receive Brooklyn's three unprotected first round picks, 2022, 2024, 2026, plus pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027. The Rockets will get Cleveland's 2022 first round pick, which is via the Milwaukee Bucks. That is a war and peace trade, but it's a trade that has gone down. And this is that fine line that the NBA strays right now, okay? The drama, players wanting out, pouting, don't want to go here, super teams, say it and it becomes so. Well, James Harden wants to team up with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant wants to leave the Golden State Warriors to go here. Players just make these things come to fruition by saying it in the media or pouting their way or out or causing friction within teams. This is good for talk radio. It's good for attention. But if you're a fan of these teams, you're kind of like, what? Right? Like, it's just the lesson that Jerry Seinfeld taught us a long time ago. In sports, you root for laundry. Like, you can't get attached to certain players and certain concepts. And when you get a star like this, the clock is ticking, right? But if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, and this is a brilliant move by the Brooklyn Nets. If you're Steve Nash, by the way, you're kind of like, okay, like, giddy up, right? But this is how quickly these things can happen. And this is a franchise that had to do everything it possibly could to outshine the New York Knicks. Now, New York is a Knicks town. It always will be. But you have done literally everything you can now to say, well, we're going to try and outshine you. When you sign three of the biggest stars in the NBA and put them on one team, say all you want about this, you can't resist a tire fire when you drive by on the highway. They have become the center of the NBA universe. They have become the favorite to win the NBA title. And this is why people watch The Bachelor. This is why people like reality shows as much as they pretend to not watch this stuff, and why Twitter exists and flourishes. And, you know, I can go into a lot of other walks of life here. The bottom line is people like drama. You couldn't script this any better. So the NBA is towing a fine line of fan loyalty and asking what fans get into. And, you know, fans are slowly but surely making their way back into arenas. But if the Brooklyn Nets could sell tickets right now, you couldn't get a ticket if you tried, right? All in the interest of attention, all in the interest of pursuing a championship, all in the interest in which KD has won, which Kyrie has won. Harden wants to get in line for one. So the super team concept is, it's good in some ways, but there's a downfall to it in another. The perception of the stars, which they don't care about, by the way. These multimillionaire huge contracts, biggest contracts in sports history in some cases that these players are signing, never good enough. And the optics of pouting your way out and what it looks like, you know, all is forgiven. If James Harden goes to Brooklyn, sheds a few pounds, which frankly he needs to do, and that's coming from somebody who's in the same boat, James, okay? I'm not pointing fingers here, man. I'm just saying, like, you can't show up to a season looking like you were just hanging at Ponderosa for the past 3 weeks. Old school reference there, had to make it. But then you hear about this trade, and then it just comes back to, like, this is the end of the day, folks. For all of the shaming we do of these players when they pout their way out of these situations, all this, you know, angst and everything, it is entertainment. And in the great words of Russell Crowe in a terrific movie, are you not entertained? And on that note, we'll break. We'll come back, talk some more SU hoops on the other side. Stay right there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.